Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I'm starting a section dealing with spiritual armor. And we're going to be looking at this, and I'm going to take my time, and we're going to spend several weeks on this section because I want to teach you how to put on each one of these pieces of armor. It is very important that we know how to put on God's armor, because if we don't know how to do it, we won't be able to do it. And as we begin tonight, we think about the whole section here about armor, and it reminds us of the military. And I've entitled the message tonight, Spiritual Boot Camp. Military boot camp is the basic training for new recruits. When they get out there, you know, the guys join up for the military and they get out there and they have boot camp. It's a strenuous time of exercise. It's a time of discipline. It's a time of training in the ways of war. And they get out there and they practice shooting the guns and they practice that running and they practice hiding and they practice all the different things. They practice camouflage. They practice avoiding attack. All these kind of things. And then you know how to do it, because they don't know how to do it. When they get out in a real battle, they're going to shot down. And so they got to be able to do it, and it's a time of strenuous exercise. There's nothing easy about it. It takes a lot of work. Now, every Christian needs to go through spiritual boot camp to get in shape and learn how to be able to fight the spiritual enemies that we face. We face strong enemies. We're going to be looking at that next week, the powerful enemies that we face in this world. And we need to be in shape for it. And it's something that we need to exercise to and learn how to fight it, because we cannot attack the devil. We don't have any strength against the devil. You know, and we don't have any power against the devil. You know, and people sometimes just say, "Oh, devil, leave me alone." Well, I don't have any power over him. Remember what, in the book of Jude, it talks about what Michael the archangel did when he was contending with the devil. He rebuked him in the name of the Lord because he didn't have any power of his own. He was Michael the archangel, one of the highest angels in heaven, was not able to combat with him in his own power. And if Michael can't do it, certainly I can't do it. And neither can you. And so we need to depend upon God. We need to depend upon His strength. So we need to be trained. We need to know how to defeat the devil and how to defend ourselves in the face of all of his attacks. Now, many Christians never submit themselves to spiritual boot camp. Many Christians never submit themselves to spiritual boot camp. They never come to the place where they have submitted themselves to God to the point where they can really rely upon and depend upon God for strength. And that's why we have so many Christians in our world today that are, honestly, they're defeated. They're defeated. They don't have victory over sins. They have all kinds of wicked habits. They have all kinds of bad thoughts. They can't get victory over their mouth. They can't have victory in any area of their life. They just are defeated Christians. That doesn't mean they don't know the Lord. They could truly know the Lord, but they're just defeated because they don't know how to put on the armor. And they don't know how to walk with God, day by day, with God's armor. And so we're going to be looking at that in the next few weeks, and I hope that it can be of help to us. Now, whether you're a new recruit or whether you're someone who's been through the basics, but you need a bit of a refresher course, all this can be of help to all of us. And there's lots in here for all of us to learn if we'll put our hearts and minds into it. Now, as we begin here in chapter 6 and verse number 10, Paul starts out, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The word "finally" there has the idea of something that is in the future, from now on. It's that kind of an idea. From now on, here's what you need to do. So he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We're going to be looking at those two verses. And then we start out here tonight, the first thing we see here is that God's given us three basic duties that we need to master in order to be able to stand against our enemy, the devil, and defeat him. The first duty is this: to be strengthened by God's person. To be strengthened by God's person. Notice again verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord. Now, the little word "be strong." I've mentioned these kind of things before, and sometimes they get a little bit technical, but it's important for you to learn so you can expand your memory or in your mind a little bit, and it'll help you. The word "strong" here has the idea of, it comes from the root word "dunamis." Dunamis is, if you look up in an etymology dictionary, dunamis is the Greek word that is the root or the etymology for the word dynamite. Dynamite. Now, when I was a boy, my dad had dynamite, and I remember my uncle had a box of dynamite up in the roof of his, in the attic kind of his garage. Now, the dynamite sticks we had, they were about a foot long and about as big around as a broom handle. And it had a fuse on the end of it that came out. And one of those dynamite sticks, you know, they looked harmless. But we would dig holes, drill holes underneath old stumps out in the field and put one or two of those sticks of dynamite down there, put a long fuse on it, light it, and run. And it would blow that stump completely out of the ground. Just blow it up into the air. Power in that little stick. Just tremendous power. And this word that God uses here, he says, be strong. That is the dynamite power. There is dynamite power in this. And God says, I want you to be strong. I want you to get your strength from God. Now, also, he mentioned the word here, he says, be strong in the Lord. It is in the passive voice. Now, for those of you who don't like grammar, just bear with me. But the passive voice, remember what that is? So the active voice is the ball. I hit the ball. That's the active voice. The passive voice is the ball hit me. All right? This is a passive command. If you have a passive command, that means it's something you must allow to happen to you. So God is literally telling us, allow yourself to be strengthened in the Lord. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of thinking to figure this out. You have a choice. If you choose not to allow the Lord to strengthen you, you're not going to get strengthened. So our choice must be to allow God to strengthen me. Now, that tells me something else. It tells me that God wants to strengthen me. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to give us his strength. Just like he wants to fill us with the Spirit, we saw back in 5:18. He wants to fill you with the Spirit, but you must let him. And here he says, I want to give you strength, but you need to let me. If you don't let me, I can't do it. God's not going to force his strength upon us. He's not going to come down on us and say, all right, from now on, I'm never going to let the devil attack you. It won't happen that way. He says, I want you to allow me to strengthen you. So it is our duty to do that. Now, God can only strengthen those who are close to him. Now, that doesn't take a whole lot to figure out either. Remember over there in 1 John, he talks about walking in the light. And we've used that illustration of when we're out in the dark woods at night and we have a lantern, and that lantern light, we've probably all done that, the lantern light goes in a circle around you. And it only goes out a certain ways, and then it starts getting darker and darker and darker and darker. And if you want to walk in the light, you have to be near the light. And so it is. God is the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5 says that he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is perfect light. He is holiness. He is righteousness. He is godliness. And he says, he has no darkness in him at all. Now, darkness obviously is picturing sin. Jesus talked about in John chapter 3 about men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so the evil deeds are in the darkness, and light is in the holiness of God. And so he says, if we are going to be close to God, we've got to be like him. We've got to get the sin out of our life and allow God to draw us close to him. Now, in order for us then to be close to God, we need to walk in the light with him. Now, the verse I mentioned this morning, again in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, if we say that we walk if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So God's letting us know there, if we want our sins cleansed on a regular basis, we need to have a close relationship with God. And if we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, we're going to have to get close to him. And another illustration of this very same thing is over in Galatians 5, verse 16, where it says that we are to walk in the Spirit. See, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, that means we need to be in fellowship and harmony with the Spirit. There's a verse over in Amos 3:3. It's a good verse for you to memorize. Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except to be agreed? Good principle for marriage. It's a good principle for our fellowship with God. It's a good principle in any relationship. Two people cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. And it's true with me and God. God and I don't walk together unless we're in agreement. And he's not going to change. It's me that's got to change. God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I'm not walking with God, it's me that's got out of line. It's not him. And so I need to get back in line with God in order to walk with God. And there's going to be harmony only when I get in line with God. And so now, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, that means we need to be in harmony with the Spirit. And then there's those same verses over in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, that talk about our spiritual the victory steps that we need to take. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Now those are God's victory steps to give us victory in our lives. But notice what they do. It's drawing close to God. You can't have victory and be a long ways from God. It can't work. It won't work. And we need to have that in our life. You know, it's true even as a child. I've mentioned different times of being scared as a child. We would often have this cornfield behind our house, and you have to walk through the cornfield to get to the barn. And the corn, when it would be up way over the top of my head, it just scared me to death to walk through that at night. And I mean, I don't know why, but I just, you know, you'd think there was some, you know, scary monster behind every corn stalk. You know, you're walking through there and there's just a little trail and you're walking through there and you're just watching all the time. But if Dad was there holding my hand, didn't worry a bit. I wasn't a bit scared. But my brother and I, sometimes there'd be Dad. We didn't want to be the last one in line. Dad would lead because he was big and brave. And then we wanted to be second in line. We didn't want to be last because something might sneak up behind us. But when we're close to Dad, we're safe. You know, the same thing is true with us and God. The closer you get to God, the safer you can be. And that's what he's telling us here. We need to allow God to strengthen us, and it starts by getting close to God. Now he goes on here and he says, be strong in the Lord. Notice there's two things that he tells us to be strong in. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's two things we need to be strong in. In the Lord, or in the person of the Lord, and in the power of his might. So we need to be strong in the person of the Lord, we need to be strong in the power of the Lord. So these two things we're going to be looking at here tonight. But first of all, we need to be strong in the person of the Lord. In the Lord. Or it could be by the Lord. Allow yourself to be strengthened by the Lord. That's the idea of what it's talking about here. Now, we must get our strength from him. The Lord, only the Lord can protect us. Our self-strength, we just don't have enough. I don't have enough self-strength to defeat the devil, and neither do you. We will fail every time we try to attack the devil by ourselves. I don't have any strength against him. I mean, he can twist things around and make me, you know, fall for his lies every time if I'm trying to do it myself. But we've got to depend upon the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 26, is a verse that really describes this situation. Proverbs 28, 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. If we trust in our own self and think, I can do it, I can defeat the devil, I can get victory over the sin, I can break that habit, I can live a godly life in my own strength. Now, we might not say that in our outwardly because that sounds pretty nasty, but sometimes we do it in our actions and we cannot win that way. God says if we trust in our own heart, we're a fool. But he that walks wisely, depending on God's wisdom, will be delivered. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. When we start thinking that we can stand on our own, God says, take heed, you're going to fall. As soon as we start getting confident in ourselves, we're going to fall. We need to depend upon God. But you know, our human nature is to, things are going fine, I'll be all right, and we take our eyes off the Lord. You know, it reminds me of the time Peter was walking on the water with Jesus. Now, Peter said, Lord, can I walk on the water with you? And the Lord says, come on, Peter. And Peter jumped out of the boat and started walking on the water toward him, and all was going fine while he was focusing on the Lord. And then he must have started thinking, hey, that's pretty cool. Look at me, I'm walking around. He starts going down. Why? He took his eyes off the Lord and started thinking about himself, and he immediately sank. Because he had no strength in himself to walk on that water. It was through only the Lord. And it's the same thing in defeating the devil. As soon as we take our eyes off the Lord, who is our strength, we're going to fall. And so he says that we need to be careful lest we fall. Take heed lest you fall. Now, it is the Lord and his word that gives us his strength. You know, the Lord uses the Bible in our lives. This is the tangible part. I mean, we can talk to the Lord and he can speak to our hearts. But really, it's the Bible that he uses to strengthen us. Many verses talk about this, but a couple that are real obvious is Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. If we'll hide God's word in our heart, it will help us. Why? Because it'll be there ready to remind us when we get tempted. It'll be there ready to use against the devil when he's attacking us. But if you don't memorize it, if you don't have it hidden in your heart, you don't have it with you. You can't say, hang on, the devil, I know it's in there somewhere. Where is that? It's somewhere in the Bible. Let me grab my Bible, look for it, and you know, look and look and look. Oh, boy, I can't find it, and the devil's beating us over the head, and we lose. We've got to know it. And that's why it's important to memorize the Bible. You know, folks, it is not easy to memorize. I'll be the first to admit that. But it's not impossible. It takes work. It takes diligence. But you can do it. And so can I. If we'll work at it. But the reason we don't memorize the Bible is because we don't think it's important. That's the bottom line. You know, you think about the things that are really important in your life, and what happens? You make time to do them. Isn't that right? If it's really important, you make time for it. And the things that aren't so important, you kind of push them aside. But the things that are really important, you'll make time for it. And if you really felt like it was important to memorize some important verses to strengthen you. Let's say, for example, you've got a temptation that keeps tripping you and you fall on your face almost every day. And you say, I've got to get victory over that. But every time I try, I just fall again. Well, find a verse in the Bible that deals with that issue and memorize it. Go over it and over it. Carry it in your pocket. Pull it out all the time. Read it over again and stick it back in and memorize it. Go over it and over and over and over and over it. And when the devil starts after you with that problem, you just pull that out and read it to him and talk to him and think about it and meditate and pray over that verse and ask God to help you through the power of His Word. God will help you. He will. But we've got to put the Word into practice like God said. Another verse that deals with this, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God said His Word is quick. The word quick means alive. It means alive. It's an old English word that means living. So He says the Word of God is living. It is quick and powerful. It is alive and powerful and able to help me get victory if I'll spend time in the Word. And so the Bible is a very important part, and God says we are to allow ourselves to be strengthened in the person of the Lord. But He also then, secondly, He tells us that we need to be strengthened in the power of the Lord. The second part of that verse says that be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. He uses two words that deal with strength here. Power and might. The first word, the power of His might. The power, this word has to do with energy, great energy. It has to do with dominion. The word dominion means to rule over something. It's the kind of a word that describes a dictator or a power that is over somebody else. It is a strong power. It is a power that is controlling. It is a superior force. It is a mighty force. And we must allow God to strengthen us by His power. It's not my power, but it's God's power. It's not your power, it's God's power. And so He says, be strengthened by the power of His might. Now the word might is another word that deals with strength. It deals with power. And He combines these two words together, using them side by side here, to describe the superior power of God's might. The superior power of God's might. He said we need to put on the person of Christ, but we also need to put on the superior power of God's might. It is superior to all other powers. And we need that. Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Nothing too hard for God. We find also over in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26, it says, with God, all things are possible. The disciples were saying, well, Lord, you know, how is a rich man supposed to get saved? You said it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the heaven by, you know, unless he can go through the eye of a needle, and nobody can do that. How can he be saved? God says, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God can do anything. God can do anything. We need to remember that. And then a great verse, and if you don't have this memorized, oh, I urge you to put this high on your list. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now think about that with me. Help me out here. Who is in you? As a Christian, who is in you? Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. All right? Who is in the world? the devil. All right? Why is the Holy Spirit more powerful than the devil? He's God. The devil is just an angel that fell from heaven. He is a created being. Jesus and the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. And He lives in us. And so He says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to remember that when the devil attacks us, that to remember that greater is the one living in me. God Himself lives in me. And the power is available. But remember, we need to walk in the Spirit. He's always there, but sometimes we're not letting Him take control. He's always in our life if we know Him as our Savior. He'll never leave us, but sometimes we don't let Him have control. We don't let Him take the lead in our life, and we don't let Him govern our life. And as a result, He can't lead us in the right way. So we need to let Him do that. So we need to remember that God's power is greater than every lust we'll face. It is greater than every evil habit. It is greater than every temptation. It is greater than any situation you'll come. God's power is that superior power of God's might. Greater than any other power. God is the one who spoke the universe into existence. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. The trillions and trillions and trillions of stars in the universe, God spoke and they were there. God has got power that is superior to all other power. And that same power is available for you and me because God lives in us. And He said, allow yourself to be strengthened by God's supernatural, superior power of His might. Allow yourself to be that. Now, Satan is much stronger than any of us. But compared to God, Satan's power is less than that of a little child against the giant. Satan has no power against God. Oh, he might rear up and swing his ugly fist at God, but that's just a joke. What happened when he did that? Well, the Bible tells us over in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, which, a section that appears to be describing the fall of Satan. If Satan says, I will. And God says, no, you won't. You're out of here. And God just cast him out of heaven. He lost his place in heaven where he was as one of the lead angels of heaven. And Satan's power is nothing compared to God's. God is great. You know, I like this little story of a little girl that was attentively listening to her father read in her family devotions time. And she seemed to be awed by her parents' talk about God's limitless power and His great mercy. And she looked up at her dad and says, Daddy, she said, how big is God? And he stopped and thought for a moment and he said, honey, God is bigger than you'll ever need. He's bigger than you'll ever need Him to be. God is bigger than every one of our needs. He is the greatest power of the universe. And it's important for us to remember that. Now, the psalmist seemed to have a real understanding of the power of God. Many times throughout the Psalms, you read about his explanation of the power of God in his life. For example, Psalm 20, verse number 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They were depending on their chariots and horses to defeat the battle, but he says, we're going to depend on the name of the Lord our God. Another one is Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Another one, Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, we need to just remember that God is able to meet our needs. So we need to first of all allow God to strengthen us in His person. Just the who God is. God is my Savior. He is powerful. He is able to do all things. He is my God in the person of God, but also in the power of God. Recognizing this, and He says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But then He moves on to the third instruction in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to be strengthened in God's panoply. All right? We need to first of all be strengthened in God's person. Second, we need to be strengthened in God's power. But third, we need to be strengthened in God's panoply. And I'll explain that in just a moment. When I was a teenager, I trimmed Christmas trees one summer. And it was a good experience. I'm very glad that I did it. I learned a lot of good things. But we used a knife that was almost razor sharp, that had a blade on it that was as long as your arm. It was 18 inches long. It was a blade that was that long, almost razor sharp, with a handle on it. And we also had one other piece of equipment, and that was a leg guard. Not two leg guards, one. Because we were always using one hand. If you were left-handed, you put it on the other leg. But you put it on this leg because you stood by the tree, and you would take one long swipe, just like that, and it would trim off every branch all the way down to the bottom of the tree in one swipe. All right, that thing was sharp. And the leg guard was on this side in case you ever got close to your leg. And you would walk around that tree in about six or eight swings, and you would have the whole tree trimmed. Just like that. And it would just trim, and the branches would just fall off the tree as you'd go around and shape it into the cone of a tree. Now, that knife was very sharp and very dangerous. The leg guard was there to protect us. There was a few times, three or four times probably during the summer months, the two or three months that I worked doing that, that I actually hit my leg guard. And that kind of put fear into my heart because I didn't want to hit my leg guard. Now, some of the guys I worked with, their leg guard looked like they just, you know, were a woodpecker. They just bam, bam, bam. It was full of cuts. And I'm thinking, these guys are crazy. I mean, I tried not to hit the thing because that's getting too close for comfort. That thing's sharp. But that was my armor. That was my protection. And it saved me from getting cut seriously. Now, God's telling us here that we need to put on His panoply. The word panoply means a full suit of armor. A full suit of armor. It actually comes from the Greek word that is used in our text. The word in our text is panopila, or something like that. I'm probably not pronouncing it quite right, but it's the root word for this panoply that we have in our English language that means a full suit of armor. And so God's telling us here, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor is all the pieces, every piece of armor. You know, if we put on part of it but not all of it, we're not successful. You need the helmet, you need the belt, you need the shield, you need the breastplate, you need the shoes, and you need the sword, and you need the prayer. All of it goes together. He says, put it all on. Don't put part of it on. Put it all on. You need to put on the whole armor of God. And so we're going to be looking at that in the weeks to come. But God's armor is not a physical equipment. It is a spiritual resource. All right, it's not physical equipment, it's spiritual resources. The physical equipment of the soldier was just what I mentioned a moment ago. The soldier in biblical days, they had a helmet, they had a sword, they had shoes, they had a shield, they had a belt and a breastplate. That was the basic parts of their armor. And they put on all that armor in order to protect themselves. Now, God's telling us, as we work our way through here, He's telling us we need to put on truth. We need to put on righteousness. We need to put on peace, faith, salvation, scripture, and prayer. And He says, that's our armor. And we need to learn how to put it on. And so God says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, we're not actually going to look at the armor tonight, but we're looking at the preparation for it and the instructions of this. And He says, put on the whole armor of God. God's armor provides perfect protection. It'll provide us perfect protection. God designed His armor so that in every way, in every situation, it will defend us and protect us, and we'll be able to use the offensive weapons to defeat the devil. And God says it'll work because it's His design. God designed these things. God said this is the armor that will protect us and help us and enable us to win the battles. Now, God's armor is available to every Christian. It isn't just for some. It's for all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. If you know the Lord is your Savior, His armor's for you. And He makes it available to all of us. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. You simply have to do what He said in verse 10. Allow yourself to be strengthened by the Lord. Allow yourself to take it. And draw close to God so that you can get the armor. Now, folks, you can't have God's armor if you stay a long ways from God. It's just not going to work. You've got to get close to God because that is part of the key. You've got to stay close to God. Without being close to God, you won't have the power. You won't have the strength. You won't have the armor. And so we need to stay close to God. Now, God commands each believer to put on the armor. Let me give you another little technical grammar thing here that I've mentioned these things before, but these are two things that really kind of stick out. Not only the passive voice, but also there is a middle voice. The middle voice is what we find in verse number 2. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. The word put on there is in the middle voice. The middle voice is something we don't have in English. The middle voice means that you do it to yourself or for yourself. He said, put on to yourself the whole armor of God. So it's actually intensifying and just saying, don't just put it on, but put it on to yourself or for yourself. It is for your benefit. You need to put it on for yourself. And God is emphasizing that each Christian must put it on himself. I can't put it on for you. I can't come up to you and say, come on, let me help you buckle on this armor. You need to get it on because you're going to fall if you don't get it on. I can't do that. I can encourage you. I can teach you how. I can instruct you. But I can't put it on you. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to put on God's armor yourself. So it's something every one of us has to do ourselves. God's not going to put it on for you. You've got to let him give it to you and let him put it on. You've got to be willing to work with it and work at it. Now, if you do not put on God's armor, you're disobeying God. I mean, it's pretty plain. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So if you don't put it on, you're not obeying what God just told you to do. So it's disobedience if we don't put it on. Then putting on God's armor is a daily necessity. It's something we've got to do every day. You can't just put it on today and say, good, for the rest of my life, I'm all set because I put on God's armor. That'd be great if it worked that way, but it doesn't. It's a daily thing, getting close to God again, getting my sins out of my life, following these victory steps in James 4, so I draw near to God, cleanse my heart, purify my life, call my sin wicked, and humble myself before God, and get close to God. And God says, okay, now you're cleaned up, ready to go. Now we can put on the armor. And we can put on God's armor by drawing close to him. So it is a daily thing. And then he says that if we'll do that, we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles is a word that I don't think I've ever used in my life outside of Bible context. But it means the tricks. It means tricks of the devil. So the wiles of the devil are the tricks of the devil. And he says we need to be covered with God's armor that we may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. Because he's got so many tricks to deceive us and trip us. And you know, he's got custom-made trips for you. You know, tricks that'll work on you that won't work on me. God knows Satan knows our weaknesses. I don't know how much God has allowed him to know. I don't know how much he understands, but I know one thing. He seems to know an awful lot about me. And he knows exactly the things that trip me up. And exactly the things that cause me to stumble. And exactly the things that tempt me the most. Now, the things that tempt me may not tempt you at all. And the things that tempt you might not tempt me. But he knows our weaknesses. And so we need to be aware of that. And remember, the tricks of the devil are powerful that he uses against us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, an angel of light is an angel that looks like he's from heaven. Remember, light refers to good. God is light. So he's putting on as if he's an angel of God. But he's not. He's a liar. He's the deceiver. And he's tricking us. He's transforming himself to look like he's an angel of God, but he's not. He's a deceitful enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is a roaring lion. He's going to sneak up on us and try to devour us and destroy us and mess us up and wreck our life. You know, Satan knows if you are a Christian, Satan knows that he'll never get you to go to hell with him. But he's going to do his utmost best to keep you from pleasing God. He's going to do his utmost best to wreck your life so you won't be fruitful for God, so you won't win others to Christ, so you won't be pleasing to God, so you'll make a mess of things in your life. And he'll do a good job, but if we don't stop him, we've got to have God's help. Be sober, be vigilant. Now, we must wear God's armor to be able to stand against the devil. And by wearing God's armor, we'll be able to stand against those tricks and be able to resist the temptation that Satan puts out there. And wearing God's armor will assure us victory over sin if we'll put on God's armor the way he says to. He says it will. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we got God's word on it. He said, you will be able to stand up to his tricks if you wear my armor. If you don't wear my armor, you won't be able to. And so as we progress, next week we're going to look at the enemy. And then the following week, we're going to start looking at some of the armor. And so we need to let God do a work in our hearts. And right at the onset here, he gives us the three basic instructions we need to understand that we need to put on. We need to allow God to do three things in our life. We need to allow Him to strengthen us by His person, allow Him to strengthen us by His power, and allow Him to strengthen us by His panoply. Those three P's, His person, His power, and His panoply, will strengthen us for the battle. But the choice is up to us. We've got to allow it. He's not going to cram it down our throat, force it upon us, but He's saying, this is what you got to have. If you want to have victory, you got to do it this way, no other way. And I urge you tonight, you know, if you're not walking close to God, you need to do that. I can't make you walk close to God. I can't make you read the Bible and pray and spend time with God and get close to Him. I can't make you, but you've got to make that choice. And if you say, I want victory in my life, here's the key.